For being here with us today and being part of week three of our series called Text, and we're going to be wrapping it up here and then moving on and share with you a little bit later kind of where we're heading in our next series. I'm excited as we get into this time of year because once we hit November, it's like things get really cool at the church, you know. They're cool all year long, but for some reason we seem to put this bigger emphasis on November and especially December, and I think that you're going to be excited about where we're going. But so today we're just going to finish it up. We've been in this series about called Text. We've been looking at the Bible and why do we put such an emphasis on it? Why is the Bible so important for us? I mean, you hear about it all the time, and it's the best-selling book ever, and all of this. And so why should we read it? Why should we have one at our house? Why should we have one available to us at all times? And we've talked about the fact of all the things that the Bible has gone through to make it to us. Week one, we really focused in on the fact that there these words were written over a period of 1,500 years by 40 authors, 66 different books, and so all across different continents, and all the things that could make it not fit together, but yet somehow it does. There's all of these different authors, different years, different things going on in the world, yet the theme of it always runs the same, and it always matches up. And how could that be? And it's because we know that God inspires it. God put those words into the men who penned it down. And we know that not just did he inspire it, did he want it written, but the accuracy with which it is written is uncanny. That we've got archaeological proof that backs up the fact that it was that the accuracy of what we hold in our hand today is what was written so long ago. And so we know that it's inspired and that it is accurate and believable, but then also we know that there is more to it than just a good book, more than just this factual book that we can look at. There's so much more there, and today that's what I want us to do. I want to go from being this true reader of the Bible to someone that not just reads it but studies it and takes it in and allows it to shape us and form us and make us who we are. There is this thing that the Bible says is so incredible. In Matthew 24, verse 35, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." The word of God will last no matter what comes and goes, no matter what is here now and gone tomorrow, as everything else that we see will. But the truth of what God says to us is accurate, and it will never pass away. Last Sunday night, you guys threw a surprise party for me, for those that were here and able to be part of that. Thank you so much for just honoring me with that. It was to celebrate my 10 years in ministry, and so had people from all that journey along the way that were here with us. And so just, I was blown away by it. But the thing about that is that we celebrated those things. We celebrated those 10 years in my life and in my ministry. And in those 10 years, there was a lot of other things that happened in my life, a lot of other things that I did, and there was a lot of things I did before that, and, good, bad, all that. But the reality is the things that I did during my ministry that were God-directed and ordained and that I followed, those things are going to last forever. The other things, they're going to come and go, but the things that God did in lives, in my life, and lives of people that I touch, and all those are the things that are going to last forever. And so we can celebrate people and all of that stuff, and I hope you know that for me, that just rolls right on through me. It doesn't, I appreciate it, but it's not about me. It's about him and all the cool stuff that he's done over those years. And those are the things that are going to last forever. Those are things that are going to last for eternity. And you and I have the opportunity to be part of eternal things. And the Word of God is one of those things that can be part of us that just goes on and on and on, that we can have that happen in our lives. And so we have the Word of God that will last forever, that we can be part of that and allow that to be part of us. So here's my question to get us started is, okay, so we get that. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the Bible? What are you going to do with this Word of God that has gone through so much to get here? What are you going to do with it? Because I, the honest question that rings throughout Christianity, rings through is nothing if we're not careful. The question of that, what are you going to do with it, is I'm really nothing, because I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to do what it says. I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. I'm not even going to really believe it enough to just go with it and trust it. And so what I hope today to be able to do is to get us to a place where we say, you know, I'm not going to just do nothing with it. I'm going to do something with it. I'm not just going to even just read it. I'm going to let it become part of me. And King David answered this in the Psalms. He made this statement in Psalm 119, verse 11. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart. And so the answer that I hope we get to today is that you and I will be willing to hide God's word in our heart. Now, that kind of leads us kind of in this funny way, because if we think something's hidden, then it's not visible, right? So if we hide his word in our heart, that makes us think, well, I'm just going to hide it in me and not let anybody else see it. The truth of what that means is that David's saying, listen, I've hidden it in me. And he goes on in that verse and he says, I've hidden it in my heart so I won't sin against you. The reality of what David is saying is I've hidden it in my heart so that it will shine for everybody to see, because it'll be who I am. It's not that I've hidden it so I have it all to myself. It's that I've hidden it there in my heart so now I live that out. And that's who I am. And for you and I, we need to be able to answer that question. Listen, God, here's what I'm going to do with your word. I'm going to put it so deep inside of me that it becomes who I am, so that I live out the purposes that you have for me and I become exactly who you want me to be. The best that I can. I'm going to live it out because I've hidden that word in my heart. And so I want us to be able to figure out how to do that today. How do we get that inside of us? And I think it comes down to us understanding some things that are truth and true about God's word. The first thing is that God's word brings power. We need to understand that the Bible, the words that God has penned to us, bring power. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. Now, I can tell you that there have been times where I've read his word, and you know, I don't recommend this, and I don't like to do it. It's not how I tell people to do it. Don't just grab your Bible and open it and expect God to just give you something. I don't think that's how it works. I don't think you can drop it on the ground and wherever it falls open, that's going to necessarily be the answer to your question. I don't believe that. But I do believe that if you pray and you ask God to speak to you and you open it up, that it can absolutely tell you what you need to know and what you need to hear. I believe that's one way that you can do it. I believe organized study is a little bit better to find the answers to what you're looking for. But sometimes you can do that. And there have been times where I have opened it up in desperation and said, God, what do you want to say to me? Open it up, and there it is. And the reason that we're able to do that is because it's alive and it's powerful and it speaks to us right where we are. That God wants us to know that there is plenty of things in his word that help us and answer the questions that we have about life. Because here's what I know about the Bible. There are times where I feel so close to God. and that I feel like I'm following him and that I'm exactly where I need to be. And the reason is because I'm in the deepest study that and I'm plugged in. I'm allowing the power of his word to speak to me and be very clear to me, that I understand it's alive and powerful and that it's speaking to me. There are times, too, where I find myself in a complete desert, where things are dry and it's not happening. And then the reason why is because I realize that I've allowed myself to drift away from the relationship with him, to read his word and allow it to speak very plainly and clearly to me. And maybe today you're just, that's where you are. You find yourself, you're in a desert, you know, and you're just searching for things. And you're trying to plug all the holes in the boat with everything else that life throws, you know, that you can grab hold to. I'm just telling you that we don't have to plug the boat. Listen, we know the master carpenter who can fix the boat, who can come in and repair it and make it whole. And we find how he does that through his word. And so I want to encourage you to understand that the Bible, it brings power to us and that we can find it there in his word. It's alive and powerful. God's word also brings healing. It brings healing. Psalm 107, verse 20, King David's crying out here again, and he says, he sent forth his word and healed them. All throughout God's word, we see God referred to as Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah the healer, God our healer, the one who heals all our diseases, all our infirmities, all of those things, whether they're physical, whether they're relational, whether they're emotional, whether they are financial, whether they're whatever we find, that he is the healer of our diseases. And we can trust him, and we find healing in his words. There are answers to our sicknesses there. We can get past the things that have held us back because we allow him to heal those things. Maybe it's your past you need healing from. Maybe you're allowing something from way back there to just hold you down and keep you where you're not able to be all God wants you to be. I'm telling you, the answer to the healing of your past and those things is in the word. You can begin to study it and begin to hear him talk about who you are. If you want healing from who Satan keeps telling you you are, go listen to what God who created you says you are. And then you can overcome those things. It brings healing to us. God's word brings direction. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. There's many times in my life where I've told God exactly what my plan is and expected him to let that happen. Anybody identify? I mean, seriously. I mean, I love to tell God what my plan is. I'm really good at it. You know what he's really good at too? Telling me I'm wrong. Because here's the thing, we have our plans and we have things that we want to see happen and we want things to go our way, but the truth is that God has a plan and that though we may want to go a direction, he directs our steps. If we'll trust him and follow him, here's what I know is my plan, should it have come to fruition, would have never been nearly as fulfilling and abundant as God's plan has been for me. And so we have to be willing to trust him to lead us there. That though we may come up with plans and we may try to make things happen our way, when we allow him to direct our steps and when we follow him, there is a fulfillment that comes that we could never find on our own. God, what is it that God wants you to do for a living? Where is it that he wants you to live? What is it that he wants you to do in these situations that you find yourself in? Should I or should I not? You know, that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. And the direction and the answer to those is found when we open up his word and allow it to speak very clearly to us. Just think about it. Think about the three biggest decisions that you've ever made in your life. I don't know what they are for you, but just think about those. You can probably think about it, who you married or who you're seeing or, you know, where you're working, where you're living. You can think about it, whether you have kids or don't have kids and all that stuff. But all of those, how many of those top three did you really seek God in? How many did you really ask him what his plan was? Anybody married to somebody that wasn't your first choice? I mean, not that they're not the one for you, but there was that person before that you just knew you were going to be married to? That one person that just stopped the world for you? And you don't even know where they're at today? You see, sometimes we have our plans, but God directs our steps, and now we're married to the person that we know we were created to be with. So see, God does give us direction in his word. He allows us to see what the truth is for us that he wants for us. And then here's the one that I love. God's word brings freedom. It brings freedom. And Luke 4, verse 18 says, he has sent me to proclaim freedom. This is Jesus talking. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. Man, that's what Jesus came for. If you want to know why he came, there it is. Very plainly and clearly, he came so that you and I could be set free from the penalty of the sin of the world, the penalty of the sin that we commit. He came to give us freedom by giving his life on a cross. See, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve because we're sinful, all of us. The Bible's very clear that we all sin and fall short. But Jesus came so that we could have that penalty paid. He died on the cross, paid the price for our sins, and set us free from it. Not only here in this temporal world, but because on the third day he was raised again, now we not only experience freedom then, but we experience freedom for all eternity in a relationship with the God who created us. That's freedom, y'all. We don't have to live beaten down and beat up, you know, and tortured by our past. We can be set free from all of that mess. We don't have to live stuck in an addiction because, listen, he's come to set us free. And we can trust him to be the way that gets us out of that. Nothing has come to us, no temptation has come that he hasn't given us a way out of. And listen, the way out is him. It's to trust him in every step of the way. It's a hard place to get to. It's a hard place to be able to really even talk about sometimes because I struggle with it myself. I mean, it's there. It's a daily walk. We have to make daily decisions, sometimes hourly, sometimes minute by minute decisions to let him be that way out, to be the one who has come to do that. But no matter whether we struggle or not, doesn't change the truth that he is that freedom. That's freedom. That's hope. He's come to set us free. And so this morning, listen, if you're asking to be set free, let me introduce you to the one who came to set you free. Let me introduce you to him. And here's how you get to know him and realize and understand how he does that and how he did it. Here it is, right here. It's all in here. The power of the Word of God is amazing that we can understand it. It's not to be taken as some school book. It's not taken to be some textbook that we just, if we'll just know it and able to take a test and have the knowledge of it, that we'll be okay. It's not about knowledge. That's why today we're not talking about reading it. We're talking about studying it. While we're talking about digging into it and allowing it to become part of you, it's got to go beyond just the knowledge piece of it. It's more than that. And so he calls us to know more about this word. The freedom is there. The power is there. The healing is there. We just need to be able to open it up. And so here's what he calls us to. Number one, he calls us to master the text. So here's the knowledge side. So he calls us to know it. He calls us to be involved in it and be engaged in it, to do what it says. Listen to what Proverbs 7, verses 1 through 3 says. Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. If we truly want to understand what Solomon was writing here, listen to what in the Jewish culture what would happen. The boys would go off to a school and they would be taught the ancient Hebrew writings. They would memorize the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Can just think about it. Anybody in here, can anybody quote Genesis for me? Exodus? Leviticus? Could anybody like quote Genesis 1:1? Maybe, because that's a pretty familiar one. But by the time we got to like 3 or 4, we're all done, right? Because we don't know it. But these boys would be sent off and they would be taught this and they would memorize it and they would know it. And by the age of 13, they would be able to memorize all of the ancient Hebrew writings. And they would know these things. And so they would be able to write them down and they would be able to tie them to their finger and they would do all that. And so today, you know, we're lucky if somebody just gets a little tattoo of a verse, you know? But then they would write it down. I'm all for it. I know that might be controversial to some people, but listen, if you want to tattoo it on you and that's what helps you live, go do it, you know? Go get it done. Because if whatever it takes, Solomon says, write it down. Tie them on your finger. They would tie little leather boxes, these little boxes with the verses in them, and they would tie them onto themselves to be able to remember it. And so the truth is that we need to understand and master this text. We need to know what it says so that when temptation comes, we can call it out. Jesus set the example in the desert when Satan came after him, that he was able to quote the scripture. Anybody ever listen to YouVersion, the scriptures on YouVersion? You should do it. It's really cool. Go download the YouVersion app to your phone, and then whenever you have time, just because I learn better from reading and hearing together, so I read while this guy's talking. And it was so cool this week. I was actually driving. I wasn't reading this time, just so you know. But I was listening to the words. And in Matthew, it was so cool. I was listening to the words, and then the guy's reading it, and you know, he's got this great reading voice, and he's talking about how Jesus was in the desert, you know, as he's reading the scripture out. And then he got to Satan's voice, and he got to this little voice that just, you know, and it was so cool to be able to hear how it switched, and it became this little evil voice. And I'm thinking, man, you know what? That guy never sounds like that in my head. Does he ever sound like that in your head? No. You know who he sounds like? He sounds like me. It's always my voice whenever I'm tempted with those things. And see, the thing of it is, when Jesus was out there and that little bitty voice came after him, you know what he did? He quoted the scripture back at Satan. And he used that to deflect the things that Satan threw at him. How many of us, when Satan comes at us and he begins to speak, like he does to me in my own voice, that how many times can I throw the scripture back at him to defeat the attacks that he brings on me? See, I don't think many of us can because we just haven't spent the time knowing the word. And I'm telling you, there are so many attacks that we go under that we could easily extinguish if we just knew God's word the way that he wants us to. That if we would just master the text, we don't have to memorize the whole thing, but I'm telling you, there are pieces in there that you know that Satan loves to mess with you about. Go look up what God says about it and be able to know the truth. Be able to know how to come back against him so that you don't fall. The book of Proverbs, we talked about it before. I don't know how many, if I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you are still with me on the Proverbs a day? See, we're about to finish. Thank you. We're about to finish up. I know Everett is because he keeps sending them to me. Where is he? He's back there. I love it. He keeps sending them every day. I get this Proverbs email, and I've been sending back prayers at him. You know, just we've been kind of having this tug of war, and I love it because our lead team here at the church is we're getting the word, and we're hitting prayers, and we're just having a time back and forth at each other, growing each other. I love that. And that's the spiritual leadership of your church. It's growing because we're not just holding it to ourselves, but we're mastering the text by allowing it to speak to us. And so today I want us to know that there are things there for us. How do we master the text? Let me give you some quick ways that you can, some tools that you can use to study the text. First, choose a Bible. You gotta have one. If you don't have one, please see me, and I will make sure that you get one. But find a good one. What translation should we get, Ron? I don't care. Just get one that you can read and begin to understand. There are some that I would not recommend, but if you're not sure, come talk to me. We mostly will do the NIV. That's the most common one. If you ever see scripture up on the screen and it doesn't have a direct version, your translation to let you know. It's always NIV, I'll just tell you that. But then I read personally the NLT, the New Living Translation. It just talks like I talk, all right? But with good grammar, that's the only thing. But I like to read it because I get that. When I want to study, I get my ESV out because it's a word-for-word translation and it's been shown to be accurate. There's several that are like that, but you just got to find a good one that allows you to be able to read it. Whichever translation you'll read, please get one. That's my advice, all right? So here's the thing. So choose a Bible. Then study the extra materials. There are plenty of things that you can find out there that are extra. Yeah, a good commentary is awesome. Just the one that where you can begin to hear thoughts of what the scripture means and that you can find out things about what the context is and all of that, because that leads us to the second one, which is read the who, when, and why. You need to read the who, when, and why. You need to know who it is and when it was and why it's written, because of the culture of the time and all of that. It's important that you do that. That helps us to understand where they are. And then the final one is go to the web. Go to the web. There's plenty of resources on the web to help you grow. Let me caution you. There are plenty of things on the web to mess you up to. So make sure that you line it up with what God's word says to you and helps you be able to see that. Out on the resource table, there are some study guides. Just a little simple thing that I typed up for you that you can have. Go if you want that. Go out there and just grab one off the resource table. It gives you some different things that you can use to do that, some different sites that help you be able to get some answers that you're looking for. And so David wrote this in Psalm 42, says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Does that sound like you? Does that sound like your heart? Says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Listen, we need to be able to find a place that we can learn more about Him, that we can master the text by spending time with Him so that we know what it is that He wants for us. Mastering the text is not about, look at me. It's not about, hey, can I tell you all I know? I encounter those people all the time. It is not about what we know, but it is about how we live it out. And so we're not called to just master the text. We are called to be also to be mastered by the text, to be mastered by His word, to understand what it is that He wants to say to us. Listen to Matthew 23:27. It says, Jesus is talking to this group of religious leaders. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. You see, in this culture, the bodies would be buried in these white tombs, and they would, over time, they would become kind of dirty and dusty and all of that. And so they would go in with this mixture of water and lime, and they would go in and they would wash those tombs down, just because they wanted to keep it really pretty and nice on the outside. But the truth is, if you took the top off, it's just what's left of a dead body. It was nothing nice about what was inside, but they were so worried about what it looked like on the outside. And I got to tell you that our churches are full of with people who care about what it looks like on the outside, keeping it all just the way that they think it should be. But on the inside, man, it's just, they're just dead inside. And Jesus cautioned us about that. He says, look, don't worry about all of this, but worry about what's going on inside. Be mastered by the text. Let the text be who you are. Let you live that out in front of everybody, but not because you're putting on a show, but because that's what's coming out of you. I always use this illustration, and this is one that sometimes drives me crazy, and it's whatever you're full of, when you're squeezed, that's what's coming out. And sometimes, I'm just telling you, I get squeezed and it's not good what comes out. And I think if we're all honest in the room, we're probably there as well. That sometimes we find ourselves not where we need to be, not mastered by the text. You know, we know all the right things, but we're just not allowing it to be who we are inside. And so I want to tell you that we need to be mastered by it. We need to be full of what God wants for us. He looked at these and says, listen, guys, y'all look really cool on the outside. You look beautiful and clean, but on the inside, you're just full of bones. You're just full of what was left of something. You're just not there. So he says, you gotta change it. So for me and you, we gotta think about what that's like. Are we just putting on a show? You know, is this like some fashion show where we come on Sunday and we flaunt our spirituality like the latest fashion? Or is it that we come and we allow God to speak clearly to us and then live out what it is that he says to us and what it is that he wants to do in us and through us? Do we allow that to be real? Do we allow that to be the real us? So here's kind of how we put it all in perspective. 1 John chapter 2 says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. You see, if we look good on the outside, but we don't do what he wants on the inside, then we're like the whitewashed tomb. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's word is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. It's tough, isn't it? That's tough to say, hey, here's how we know you've arrived if you live like the Son of God lived here on earth. It's pretty tough. Pretty high standard, isn't it? The reality is here that he says, if you want to be known as who, as a follower, if you want to be known and be who you're supposed to be, you got to walk like Jesus walked. We've got to live like Jesus lived. That means that we've got to live as much of this book out as possible, that we no longer just know about it, but that we allow it to be who we are. that we take it beyond and we don't worry about everybody else. It's not about us trying to, you know, does Pastor Eddie live it out or not? He does. He'd argue with me about that, but he does. But it's not about, you know, him. It's about you. It's about me. Are we mastered by it? Are we part of it? Is it part of us? If it's part of us, that's a big part of the problem. It's got to be all of us. And we got to obey it. We got to live it out. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's word is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked. When I ask somebody, like, man, you know, they come and they give me their situation. And I'm like, dude, you know where you're at. It's not where God shows you to be. Very clearly. You know that that's not where you're supposed to be. You know that's not supposed to be in your life. Yeah, I know, but man, you know, it just feels good. You know, it's what I want to do. And how often have we known that we are somewhere, that there's an issue in our lives, that things aren't going the way that they're supposed to go, and yet we know very clearly that we are not where God wants us to be, and when we're confronted with the word, we don't do what we know we're supposed to do. The Bible says that if we don't do what he commands, that we're a liar. We've got to make a choice. So today, are you mastering the text? Are you being mastered by the text? Here's how you'll know. Here's how you'll know. Here's the answer. Here's the question you have to answer for you. And I have to answer for me. Are you walking as Jesus did? Are you walking as he walked, as the scripture teaches us to walk? Is that where you're at? And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say the same thing I say to that question is, man, I'm not. I'm not here. I'm not there. I am over here. I am over there. But, man, I'm just missing the boat on this. Here's the thing. We've got to come to a place where we, as much as possible, we walk as Jesus walked. You want hope today? There's not much hope in saying, hey, you have to be Jesus because he's perfect and we're not. But the fact is if we say, hey, I'm walking as Jesus walked. Hey, I'm doing the best that I can as Jesus did. I'm to be like him because he did way better than just his best. He was God. He did the best. But for you and me, listen, we can only do what we can do. But we can, through the power of the Word of God, through that alive and powerful Word, we can do way more than we think we can do. If you want to walk as Jesus walked, here's how you do that. You open up this and you begin to read it, and then you begin to do what it says. Because he says that's how we know we belong to him, is when we do what he says to do. So the question today is, are you walking as Jesus did? The answer will be found, I believe, in the condition of our Bible. It'll be found in if we know how to walk as Jesus did. And so today, maybe you're here and you say, you know, Ron, I haven't been walking that way. I haven't been reading my Bible. I haven't been trying to see how to walk like Jesus walked. I don't know if I am because I don't know how he walked. Then today is a great day to make a decision to begin to read. And not just read, but to study and allow yourself to be mastered by this incredible word that God has brought to us. See, this isn't one of those feel-good messages. It's not, you know, it isn't 10 ways to make your marriage better. It isn't 5 ways to have better finances. It's not all of that, but it is hey, if you'll walk like Jesus, your marriage will be better. And your finances will be better. And your whole attitude towards life and everybody around you will be better. So today, as we wrap up this series, it's kind of time to make a decision. Are you going to let the Bible be what it's really meant to be to us? Are you going to let it be alive and powerful in your life? Or are you just going to let it be a book that collects dust on the shelf? You choose. You have to choose for you. So today, here's what I want us to do. Would everybody just bow your head and close your eyes? Everybody, just do it for me. So here's the thing. Would anybody just be honest and just say, you know what, Ron, I haven't read my Bible. I haven't read my Bible hardly at all. I don't really know what it says. I don't know how to find anything in it. I don't know how I'm supposed to live because I haven't read it. Would anybody just be willing to admit, and I promise I won't point you out, I won't embarrass you, nobody's looking. Anybody just willing to say, you know what, I've never read my Bible. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that honesty. Thank you. So, would anybody be willing to just say, you know what? I definitely haven't read it. I've read my Bible, but I've not read it enough to know how to live my life the way God wants me to. Thank you. I appreciate that. A lot of people. So here's the thing. This is an opportunity for us to start fresh today, brand new, and begin to read it. Here's my commitment to you. Those that raised your hand and said, hey, I've never read my Bible. I will help you. I'll give you whatever I can give you. I've got a reading plan for you. If you'll come see me, call me this week, text me this week, whatever. I'll get that to you. For those that haven't read it the way that you know you should, I'll do the same for you. I know Eddie will help you. Pastor Eddie, we'll do whatever we can to help you with that. Because I promise, every time I sit down with somebody, I can always trace it back to what do they know? Because if they knew it, I'm sure they would do something different. And so I want you to be able to know it. I want you to be able to choose differently and live differently. And so today, here's my last question. If you're here and you know you don't read your Bible like you should, would you just raise your hand? Yeah, I think that's like the whole room pretty much. And I would agree with that on my end. So here's the commitment. We have a chance right now to commit to read our Bibles every day. To not just read it, but to begin to study it and begin to be mastered by it. To live it out in our lives. We know if we did, that things would be better. So I commit to you to read mine even more. And even more to not just read it, but to be mastered by it, to allow it to be more of me. And so I'm going to ask you to make that same commitment. That's our next step today. That you're committing to read your Bible more, to not for the reading of it, but for the living it out. And so if you're willing to do that with me, would you just raise your hand? Thank you. So I'm going to ask you just to mark that on your connection card, and I'll be praying for you, and you pray for me. But here's the thing. All the eyes closed and all your heads bowed, just that in this room, I'm sure that there are people who've never made a decision to accept Jesus. And so I'm just going to ask you today, if that's your decision, I'm going to ask you to let today be the day that you choose to accept. The fact that Jesus came, he's God's son, he lived a sinless, perfect life that we can read about in his word, that he came because he loved us so much, and he came because he knew on our own that we couldn't do anything to fix our relationship with God, because we all sin, and that sin breaks that relationship. And so he came to earth to give himself so that the penalty could be paid and we could have the opportunity to make that relationship right. And so he died on a cross, a cruel, nasty, unimaginable death. And he died that death for you and for me. And his death paid that price. Because of that, we have the opportunity to choose to accept his sacrifice for us and be forgiven of our sins. He was taken off that cross, he was put into a tomb, and he was raised again on the third day, because God didn't want us saved. He wanted us to have the relationship with him for all eternity. And today you have the chance to accept that sacrifice and to accept that forgiveness and accept that relationship. And so today, if that's you, then I'm going to ask you right now to just acknowledge that to God. To let him know how thankful you are that Jesus gave his life on the cross, that God raised him from the dead so that you could be forgiven, set free for all eternity. And let me tell you, when you make a decision to accept that, you are saved. You are set free. So today we want you to be able to do that. And we want to celebrate that with you. And so I'm just going to ask that if that's you and you're making that decision today, would you just lift up your hand? Nobody's looking but me. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to make that decision today? Listen, two people were changed for eternity just now. Amen. If that's you and you need to make that decision and you're just not sure and you want to talk to me, then let's see. You grab me after service or whatever you need to do, and we'll make that, we'll get the answers to you, whatever we can do for you. I know this is kind of quiet and kind of somber, and it's not the sexiest church service ever, okay, if you can use those two together. But the reality is that the most important thing just happened. That people understood who Jesus is and accepted him. And so I just want you to know that today, that whatever decision you need to make, you can make it right now. You don't need me. That's why Jesus died, so you don't need a man. You need him, and he's the one. I'll help you any way I can, but you and him have a relationship if you've accepted him, and you can choose to go straight to him. But today, listen, I just want you to know that I love you and that I'm here to do whatever I can to help you in your relationship with him. That I don't want to see you just master the Bible. I don't just want to give you a bunch of knowledge. I want you to be able to be changed by it and live it out the best you can. And I'm going to do the same for me. And so thank you for your patience. Thank you for allowing us to care about other people's relationship with God and giving us this opportunity. God, we thank you so much. We thank you that you love us and that you care about us and that you are here in the midst of us, not just wanting us to try to figure it out on our own, but God, that you wrote it all down and give us a chance to follow it and know it. We don't have to just guess, that we can know. So God, for those who accepted you today, thank you for moving in this crowd. Thank you for those who committed to read your word more, to be able to live like you. And God, thank you today for other decisions that were made. God, we ask you and we believe you to be the power that allows those to happen. We believe and trust you to be the one who allows us to believe. And we believe that you today, God, are the one who heals, that you're the one that frees us, that you're the one, God, who allows this whole thing to work, because you're God. And we love you and we trust you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.